Wir haben den Tag und die Botschaft erkannt.
And we recognized the day and the message. We received what God promised. And we believed it with all our hearts. And we got it revealed. Today, just briefly, we have to say that our beloved brothers from the various countries, we want to welcome them in a special way. Brother Joseph from Atlanta, Brother Cosme from Cabinda, Brother Israel from Montreal, Brother Andre, also from Montreal, Brother Inodi from Orléans, Brother Didier from Paris, and all who are ministering with the word, we would like to greet them from all peoples, tongues and nations. We want to welcome them. And all who are listening now, and all our brothers who are translating, may they be blessed by God. Then I would like to apologize at Sister Holviti. I mingled the names. May God bless them and all the brethren in Finland. Then we had phone calls from Brother Nyagi from Nairobi, from Brother Jason from Port Elizabeth, and who else? In any case, some phone calls came in who were listening and who were watching yesterday. Brother John from Bucharest and Brother Florin, they are also sending greetings to us. Then the brethren from Ethiopia, they are sending also special greetings. Then we have our brother Yvonne, if I read it correctly, from the assembly in New York, just now through Brother Kier Junior, he gave us greetings. We are joined with many all over the earth by grace. Then we would like to give our brother Inodi special greetings to Cuba. God willing, on the 15th, 16th and 17th of June, I will be in Cuba together with our brother. And there God opened a door in the Baptist Church. The president of the Baptist Church invites, and I expressed the desire that one meeting will be on that Sunday morning in that Baptist Church. So that all who shall still be called out, that they get the chance to hear the call. Because that's how it is written. How shall they hear if not somebody is sent to preach the word to them? All of us, we all heard about it. The trip was a great blessing. Also the meeting in Berlin, and then in Prague, and also in Bratislava. God blessed. And we just wish our brethren in Bratislava, who are still doing missionary work, we wish them God's blessing. Most of us, we are resting. We are really at the question now. To whom can one speak still? Who likes to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ still. The people are just shaking their heads and are walking away. But thanks be to God for all brothers who have still an open heart and who are passing on the word. Then, I say it already now, tomorrow morning we will be 12 days in Israel. Remember us. We have two groups, one group from Europe and one from Africa. All together, we will be around 102 persons. And we are expecting the blessings of the Lord. And we will also remember you wherever we will be there. It's just wonderful. All of us, we believe. But when one sees the empty tomb and one knows, here the Lord was lying. Here was the mortal body. And then one knows, why do you seek the living with the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And as he predicted it, he will forerun the disciples to Galilee. If one sees these sights with one's own eyes, as John has written, he was an eyewitness, he was an ear witness. Our brothers at the beginning, they witnessed everything, the ministry of our Lord, the reproach through which he went through, the ministry through which the sick were healed, and all who came to him, he forgave them. Yes, they went through the garden Gethsemane together with him. I honestly must say, the nice thing is that all slept and our Lord alone was wrestling, so that no one could say, I have. No one. All of them slept. The Lord alone wrestled. The Lord alone went to the cross. I'm even thankful that Peter, three times, he denied him to know the Lord. And after the resurrection, three times he said to him, feed my lambs. He could not say, Savior, you know, I stood there like this before the Lord. No man can glorify. Everything is grace. God allowed all things. And then, God willing, on the 10th of June, we will be in Paris. Always, everything only the Lord willing. May the Lord give grace that his precious word, and I dare to say that God's word has become precious to us. Every time when I read and when it flashes, when it becomes alive, then all of us, we are all included, as we would everything experience very freshly. Now, one request that we especially pray for Italy, that God gives grace. I should follow an invitation, and God must give grace to it. He really must unite there. The last and mightiest revival and divine visitation in the bride church will be among the called out ones, among the separated ones, who are joined with God and with one another in love. And our Lord says it even today through his word. Whoever does not love his brother, he is a murderer. One hardly doesn't want to read it. But it is like that. The love of God unites. The love of God never separates. The love of God always unites us with the Lord and unites us with one another. Behold, what a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And also this must be said here once, especially all the ministering brethren, that we truly leave all specialities behind, and that we really concentrate and focus on the kernel. And usually, it's the so-called special revelations, where own directions are walked, and where one deviates from the main course. May the Lord really give grace that especially the ministering brethren are finding their place, are finding their ministry in the kingdom of God. And this will always be for the edification of the church. The Lord God is faithful. He has given the promise to go and to prepare the place. And he will return to take us home. But taking us home, he will take his bride home. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. The next time he comes as the bridegroom, and therefore the word in this time is addressed to all who are part of the bride church, until we can cry out, Maranatha, come soon, Lord Jesus, so that it becomes a divine reality in our lives, and so that we return to our first love, because that's how it is written in the first church age. Remember from which height ye have fallen, so that you return, that you have forsaken the first love. In the first church age message, the first love was forsaken. And in the last message, we should return. Everything should be restored into its original condition, up to the eye self. Not only that we have eyes to see, but that we have anointed eyes, that we read the anointed word, and that we get it revealed by the Holy Spirit through the anointing which is resting upon us. And therefore, John writes, as the anointing, as the unction teaches us, so it is right. Not a clever head who knows something, but as the Holy Spirit teaches it. And he always teaches according to the word of God. And as we heard it last night, there's a whole psalm. And in this psalm, there's only one single verse. Only one single verse. And then comes the next psalm. Also, one single verse, which is directly connected with the plan of salvation. And then the men of God in the New Testament, they take this one statement, this one verse, and are placing it according to the divine plan of salvation, so that we know why everything was written down in the word of prophecy. And therefore, the man of God writes, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Also, this remark may it be permitted to me. When Brother Branham here and there makes a statement, then it's our duty to take and to place this statement there where it belongs. This is not correction of the word. This is not correcting the prophet. This is the biblical placing of that what God has spoken, so that all of us, by grace, can come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. While the choir was singing, all these songs, they touched our hearts. And especially when it is about that we will be with the Lord, that He has prepared the place, I tell you honestly, very humbly, I tell you, if the Lord would not have shown me and given me the most wonderful experiences by His grace, if He would not have given audible instructions with an audible voice, I don't know whether I could be here still today, if I would be here still. And one of the most wonderful experiences was, there are quite a number of them, but when I was taken out of the body and when I saw the bride at its going up, when we today speak about it, then it's one thing. But if I can look back to a January 1981, and I can say, dear Lord, You have given me the privilege to see the rapture, to experience, to witness the rapture. You have given me the grace that all, I almost said, the innumerable multitude, I saw them in a divine order. And all were young. All were young. I've said it here before. Not more than 17 or 18 years old. All in the blooming of their youth. I say this for one reason. When John writes, I've seen how the New Jerusalem came down. He has seen, in fact, everything. And just imagine, if we at this time would not have any supernatural experiences with God and would have no confirmation of the commission, how could we then expect that the people would listen to us and would believe what we preach from the Word of God? The Lord Himself said, if I send someone, and if you receive him, then you receive me. And He said Himself, if they obeyed my word, they will also obey your word, or keep my word. And we believe 100% what the scripture has said, namely, that God would send a prophet at the end of the time of grace to restore all things back into its original condition. And this is not only written in the prophet Malachi, this is written in Matthew 17, this is written in Mark chapter 9, where the Lord Himself said it and confirmed it in the New Testament. And let us say it openly here. All of the religious world is shaking their heads over us, that we are so naive and so childish and such, and believing such things. And also the remark that now there are 349 Protestant denominations and fellowships joined in the World Council of Churches. And all of them, they are referring to the word from John 17, so that all may be one. But in John 17 it says, Father, you in me and I in them, so that we all are one. Not a unity which one can make this way with politics and religion, but the divine unity, Father, you in me and I in them, so that they are one. So, also about this, God has opened our eyes. And if you all noticed it, in the Protestantism, and until 2017, everything shall be accomplished, because then it will be 500 years ago since the breaking through of the Reformation. One of the nicest ladies was elected to up to 2017 prepare everything in such a way so that there will be one shepherd and one flock. Brothers and sisters, with great pain we are filled, and we see everything coming to its end, how the climax is being reached. But who sees it? Only he whom God opens his eyes. Only he who has heard the word of the hour and who believes it with all his heart. He will get it revealed. And he will see the difference. All the others will be pulled into it. And therefore, the last message is addressed to all the elect who are scattered in all people's tongues and nations, in all religions, in all denominations and confessions, so that they come out. And therefore it's written in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 6, ye, my people, come out, my people, my blood-bought flock, with you I have made the covenant, for you I've given my life for you, I've shed my blood, you are mine, you don't belong into this great unity. You belong to me. You are my inheritance for time and for eternity. To the Lord God be the thanks for the message, for the revealed word, for all the promises which he has given to us by his grace. And we said it many times, children of promise believe the word of promise, and they get it revealed, and they have part in that, what God is doing right now. Here in Ephesians, we were reading what was given to us by his grace. And we will look at some scriptures briefly in view to the rapture, to our preparation, so that we are walking with the Lord as Enoch walked with God. And then suddenly he was raptured and he was found no more on the earth. Let us read the verses again from Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, it was love. It was the love of God which he had toward us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. It happened on the cross of Calvary when we were not here yet, but we were chosen before the foundation of the world. We've been foreordained to be there. Verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. This is the full gospel. In Christ Jesus, in love, before the foundation of the world, he has chosen us. Then we were crucified with him. We died with him. We were buried with him. As Paul writes it in Romans chapter 6, by the water baptism, ye are buried with Christ into his death, and you were risen unto a new life with him. And here, the 6, and has raised us up together, and without Christ, nothing is. Everything is through him and with him, and was prepared for us. And has raised us up together and made us sit together. Even our resurrection, our changing, everything is included in the perfect work of redemption which God has done in Christ Jesus. Made us sit together in heavenly places. With God, everything is already finished. Everything is already as he has ordained it from eternity on. Let us read some scriptures now. Let us start with Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. In view to the return of our Lord, our calling out and preparation unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ. And in this connection, let it be said here and emphasized once again, God has given Brother Branham an extraordinary ministry to draw our attention to that what God has to say to his people at this time, what God had to correct, what he had to restore. God has made the commission true, and by this ministry he put everything into a divine order, and he restored all things. Connected with it is really the fact that God, as all the prophets in the Old Testament, also Brother Branham, he has taken them home without that the work was finished. And even today, it is still fulfilled that the message which he has given would forerun the second coming of Christ. And by grace, it's still forerunning, so that all who are part of the bride church, that they hear the call, not only hearing the call, but that they obey the call and they let themselves be prepared. For us, brothers and sisters, it's not only a theoretical lesson that we somehow would learn a lesson or something. For us, it is a divine reality connected with the calling out, connected with all the correction, that faith comes into agreement with the obedience, and so that we are truly prepared unto the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read in verse 5, Hebrews 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then it says, the verse, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, Enoch believed. Faith is a gift from God. And unbelief leads to damnation. Brothers and sisters, oh, that we can believe as the scripture says, it's the greatest gift from God in our time. Free from all interpretations, just to believe. By faith, Enoch was raptured. By what will you be raptured? And before the rapture, he had the testimony that with him and God everything was right. That the thing is right with him and with God. That God's well-pleasing was resting upon him. That nothing damnable would be there which could separate him from God. He had the testimony that God's well-pleasing was resting upon him. Enoch was the example of the rapture. Abraham was the example who, as the first one, who believed in the resurrection from the dead. Abraham believed God, and he even believed that when he would sacrifice Isaac, that he would be resurrected, and that he together with him would return. So, Enoch, our example, God's well-pleasing was resting upon him. If we look at it, when our Lord and Savior was baptized, all know the scripture, Matthew 3, verse 17, the heavens opened, the Spirit of God descended, and the voice sounded, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And here's the point. The well-pleasing of God, which has come over the Son of God, is the same well-pleasing which comes upon all sons and daughters of God. Because in Christ Jesus, because we are in Christ Jesus, and whoever is in him is a new creature. And then nothing damnable is in them who are in Christ Jesus. The damnable is only in the old man. And in the old man, we, by grace, we could put him off, since something new has come up in us. And so, we are just grateful that in God has chosen us in Christ Jesus, that he pardoned us, that he reconciled us with himself, that God's well-pleasing through Christ is resting upon all who have become his own possession. God has a perfect plan. He thought on everything, and he has given us everything. About God's well-pleasing, I just read some scriptures now, so that we have the right orientation according to the scripture. In the prophet Isaiah 49, we read the following words. Isaiah 49, verse 8. Isaiah 49, verse
8.
Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time, in a favorable time, I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Both is now the acceptable time, the time of God's well-pleasing, and the day of salvation, the day of grace, where people may experience their salvation. In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, and so forth. So, in our Lord, it has taken place, whether Israel or whether the church, everything is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Please don't forget it. The first part from verse
8.
Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. He has heard thee, he has heard me, he has heard us. First he heard our Lord, who went through the Garden of Gethsemane, because he brought us the full salvation. There is no other name given to men under heaven by which they can be saved than only the name of Jesus. In the New Testament we read in 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 2, 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 2, for he saith, just now we read it, Paul refers to the word of the Lord. We are also referring to the word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. How wonderful. The word of the Old Testament recited in the New Testament, placed there where it belongs. Just now I mentioned whether in Matthew 3, verse 17, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the important word from Matthew 17, verse 5. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. All who find God's well-pleasing are hearing to what he says. First, only my Son, in whom I am well pleased, and then on the Mount of Transfiguration, hear ye him. There are believers, and this we belong to them, who truly, with all reverence, are hearkening and pay attention to the word of the Lord, as if the Lord would personally stand before us today and would address these words to us. Now, just be honest. We are not just hearing a sermon which somebody preaches. No, we are hearing that the Word is speaking to us through His Word. And then comes the fulfillment. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. In Romans 12, we have also a wonderful word in this connection. Romans chapter 12, where we are shown that God also in our lives wants to see the perfect will of God happening in our lives. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, not only a new heart, all our mind shall be submitted to God, because that's how it is written. Such, let this mind be in you as it was in Christ Jesus. We just have to say, Lord, give us your mind so that it can be fulfilled, that we can love our Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our thinking, that also our thinking is submitted to God, and so that we think the thoughts of God, and that we can be placed into the Word and into the will of God. Then we have the wonderful word in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Here it is reported to us what really has happened. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Prepared a body. God took dwelling in a body here on this earth. And only our Lord could say, he who sees me sees the Father. And then we read on in verse 6, In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. The subject is well-pleasing, that God's well-pleasing can rest upon us. The offerings and sacrifices in the Old Testament were made so that God's well-pleasing could rest upon the people, because he has said, I will dwell among you and walk among you, and I will be your God. The same promise is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 for all who are now called out. I will walk among you and dwell among you, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Brothers and sisters, receive it, accept it, and just say, the word is addressed to us, the word is written for us. 2,000 years ago it was written, and now it comes to fulfillment by his grace. Then it continues in verse 7, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. To do thy will, O God. Not only to pray, thy will be done, as in heaven, so also on earth, but to do thy will. Also we may become doers of the word, and we may live out every word of God by his grace. Now the next two verses, 8 and 9, then said he, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Offerings and sacrifices you didn't want. A body thou prepared me. I come to do thy will. And the will of God was that we all are saved. That's how it is written. And we have been saved. Verse 10 says something wonderful. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now coming back to Romans 12, there's only one flock on the earth which really asks for the will of God, which really has a deep desire and longing to be found in the will of God, with God's well-pleasing at the return of Jesus Christ. Let us now go to Abraham, the man who as the first one believed in the resurrection of the dead. Let us look up Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. And here we can read from verse 1. Genesis 22, from verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. Here I am. And God said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moria and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will show thee. We all know the story. Abraham goes on his way and he reaches Mount Moria. And Mount Moria is even today the Temple Mount. One can read it in all of the Old Testament. There, where Abraham sacrificed Isaac, there the temple was built. All of prophecy of the Old Testament we find, of course, in the New Testament. And here it is written in verse 4. Actually, one should read all verses for the connection's sake. Let us read verse 3 also. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and split the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. God gives instructions. He says what we shall do. And then he is with us. When we go on our way by faith to do what he has commanded us. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go yonder and worship and come back again to you. And then we will come back again to you. He should sacrifice his son as a burnt offering. And he believed in the resurrection. He gave testimony and he said, then we will return to you. We all can read it. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. As our Lord and Savior had to carry his cross on which he was crucified, so Isaac carried the wood which was the altar on which he was sacrificed. In the Old Testament, we not only have predictions, we have the examples in the plan of salvation to show us what would take place and what has taken place. Then, verse 6, second part, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. Here, for the first time, it says here, my father, Isaac and Abraham, for the first time in the Holy Scripture, my father. And Abraham said, here am I, my son. My Father, my Son. Father, if thou wilt, let this cup pass over me. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? We all know, and we know how it goes on. And suddenly, when the son was sacrificed, and when Abraham wanted to kill him, let us read verse 15, Genesis 22, verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Abraham believed God. And if we go with this to the New Testament, Romans, Chapter 4, here we are told, brothers and sisters, we read these words to show us how God announced the plan of salvation beforehand and how it then happened in reality. And then we come to us, Romans chapter 4. And here we read from verse 17, Romans 4, from verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now just imagine how it was with Abraham. On one hand, knowing I have to sacrifice my son. And on the other hand, to know God will raise him from the dead. And we will return again to the servants. Let us read it for our sakes once again. Verse 17 in Romans 4. I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God. Before him whom he believed. How often we mentioned it here. Many believe in God. Abraham believed what God said to him. In Isaac shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Abraham knew. He knew about the promise. And he knew that God would fulfill the promise. Even it goes through the death of Isaac. The same has happened, of course, with us, with our Lord and Savior. He, the promised seed who would come, to bruise the head of the serpent. And when we read in Luke 1 that he would be king and would rule and reign throughout all eternity, and then he said, I have been born into this world as a king to bear witness for the truth. And then the whole multitude cried out, behold, your king is coming unto you. But this king had to be born as a child into this world. He had to go this reproachable way. He had to give his life as a sacrifice. And the millennial reign is still in the future. At that time, the Jews were waiting for it. And they said, we were thinking that he would redeem Israel and would deliver us from our enemies, and that he would erect his kingdom. God has a plan of salvation. It doesn't happen as we want it. The words were all written, but he has a plan according to which he fulfills everything. Therefore, it is written that Christ has to reign as king until all enemies are made his footstool. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then comes the end. And then God will be all in all. Everything is written down in the Holy Scripture. Everything was placed wonderfully. Let us read also verse 18 in Romans 4. Who against hope believed in hope. Just imagine this very hard trial, sacrificing the promised son. And then Abraham, where nothing was to hope, contrary to hope, he believed in hope. He held fast. The faith became a revelation to him. He received the assurance of faith. And he knew that when I sacrifice my son, then God will raise him from the dead. And I will return together with him back. Let us read on. Second part from verse 18. That he might become the father of many nations according to the promise. Now back to the promise. According to the promise, so shall thy seed be. Let us read verse 19 and 20. Just very precious testimonies. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Then verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Giving glory to God. Brothers and sisters, we are children of promise. Regardless of what God requires from us, he will stand for it. He will stand to it. And he will fulfill his word. He will not break any promise. He will fulfill every promise. And as it is written in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 1, all promises of God are yea and amen in him through us. God's word is being fulfilled through us. And the last message which we are hearing, we truly We receive it without opposition, with all our hearts. And there it is manifested that we look on to the invisible as we would see him. We don't look at each other anymore. We don't see the circumstances anymore. We don't see the trials and problems. As at that time, we don't see the old body. We believe in the translation of the bodies. We believe every word as it is written. Now, the two scriptures from Hebrews. We have read the two verses from Hebrews, chapter 10. Now just from James. Here in Hebrews 10, let me read once again, verse 36 and 37 from Hebrews chapter 10. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Until God's well-pleasing is truly resting upon us by His grace. I say it honestly. Is there something in your life which you are doing which God condemns in His Word? I don't believe it. There must be no new law. God lives through us. He lives out every word without any efforts. When the new life of God is in us, then we don't have to make any efforts. For instance, in the nature, must a tree make efforts to bear fruits? The life is, of course, in this tree. I come from nature. Everything has life in itself. Every seed has life in itself. And the life comes forth. And through the life comes forth the fruit. And our Lord says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. God took care for everything. And we may live out this new life by His grace. Here in James, truly something mighty was said to us. James chapter 2, from verse 21. James chapter 2, from verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? The deed belonged to the faith. Obedience belonged to that what the Lord commanded him. And also we are obedient children of God. We believed, we were baptized. No opposition is in us. And as it was with Abraham, so it is also with us. Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Abraham could have waited 100 days and he could have said, I believe. He made himself on his way. He went on his way. The next morning he went on his way. He didn't speak about it. He did what the Lord commanded him. And so faith and works came together. And God confirmed both. Verse 23, And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. In John 15, verse 14, our Lord says, ye are my friends if ye do what I command you. Abraham was called the friend of God when he did in obedience what God commanded him. And now, a word addressed to all of us. A word addressed to us. Verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Here are not the works of the law meant, but that which is connected with faith, with that what the Lord commanded. Also this, we have said it here many times. If our Lord said in the Great Commission, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, then the water baptism belongs to the faith. One cannot separate it. It's impossible. It belongs to it. Because by this we are confirming that we truly believed. And we lay our will into the will of God. So, Abraham, who received the promise, he was obedient. He did what God commanded him. And by this, he was justified. Also, we don't remain in disobedience, but we come to the perfect obedience to what God commanded us. Here in verse 26, we read in James 2, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So, not only speaking about the revealed word, but doing accordingly, becoming doers of the word, living out the divine love, and just being joined with the Lord and with one another. Enoch, the seventh of Adam, he had the testimony that he pleased God, and he was translated, and he was not found anymore on the earth. May God give grace that we, who we are living now in the seventh, in the last church age, that we hear the last call, the last message, and that we connect everything with faith and with a deed, that we are not found in disobedience, but that we remain in obedience and are doing what the Lord has said to us. Enoch, an example for the rapture. He was found no more on the earth. Also we, Will we not found anymore on the earth? At the return of our beloved Lord, the mortal bodies will be made alive. Don't worry about it, how this will happen. Just leave everything up to God. The same God who made the whole universe, who spoke it into existence from nothing. There was just a tohu vabohu. And it was dark. Nothing was there from which God could have made something. And he spoke, and it happened. At the return of our Lord, his word will go forth. And as we said it last night, with a triumph, with a shout of victory, with a trumpet, he ascended up to heaven, and with this triumphing shout, with this shout of victory, with a trump of God, he will return. And whoever reads Revelation 12 precisely, he will find out that then there will be a fight, a battle. Michael, the archangel, he will fight, and Satan will be thrown down. We cannot go into all the details here, but I tell you, this written word has really been revealed to us by his grace. And we can go from scripture to scripture, and we can place everything. So, Abraham, the first one who believed that God would raise the dead. Enoch was translated, raptured. We believe both. We believe in the rapture. We believe that the Lord will resurrect the dead, and that it is written, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. A wonderful plan of salvation of our God. And now we truly can receive the teaching from the Word. And by the Spirit we can get it revealed to him, the Almighty God, to the faithful God, be all the glory. Please receive every word by faith, and God will reveal everything to you, all the connections. He leads by his Spirit into all the truth. We believe God, and the Lord will fulfill his word and all promises which are still to be fulfilled in us and through us. What a wonderful time God has given to us and has opened our eyes to see and to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Be God dedicated for time and for eternity. Be sure, as it is true that God has called us out, so it is true that he has ordained us that we, at the return of the Lord, will leave this earth and will be with the Lord at all times. Don't you worry about that, what the Lord will do. The Lord will do it at the right time. Just believe, receive, and accept. And the Lord will fulfill his word in all of us by his grace. May also all the newcomers, may they follow, may they receive everything, and may they get it revealed by God. To him, our faithful Lord, be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand up and let us thank the Lord together. Before we thank, let me ask also today whether there are special prayer requests which we can bring to the Lord. Just raise your hands. There are some. Actually, I really believe that all of us, that we have consecrated our lives to the Lord, that we made our decision. Our decision is firm to walk the whole way of faith and obedience together with God until the good and perfect will of God can happen in our lives. We are sanctified in it, and we know without holiness no one will see the Lord. We are sanctified in Him who sanctified Himself for us. I sanctify myself for them so that they also are sanctified in truth. Everything happened through the blood of the new covenant, through the word of our God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything is happening also now. Also now, in this direct hour of consecration. And God spoke through His word to each one of us. And His word will forever accomplish today and forever for what He has sent it for. We have taken Enoch as an example. We have taken Abraham as an example. And we are thankful to God that we may live in this time where the rapture will take place. Our home is there on high, where one knows nothing of sorrow and pain. We are grateful that our Lord went to prepare the place for us, and He will return to take us home. He has sent His messenger and His message. The calling out is taking place, and we belong to them whom He has called out. May all over the earth, in all peoples and tongues, may all recognize the day of salvation and the day of grace, and may they know that this day will end and the day of the Lord will break forth. Thank you the Almighty God for so much grace, that we may live now, that You are speaking to us in such a way, Old and New Testament, connecting it together, joining us together with You. Beloved Lord, we have tread upon the holy ground of revelation. The veil was torn. The way is free. The ark of the covenant is open. You are speaking to Your people. We are thanking You that we may understand You, because You have opened our understanding for the Scripture. Precious Lord, all the prayer requests we bring to You together. Confirm Thy word. We believe You, the finished work of redemption. We believe all the promises, and we thank You, precious Lord, that we can have part in that what You are doing right now on the earth. To You, the Almighty God, be the praise and the honor and the glory and the adoration. work in all of us, the faith and the obedience, so that all of us can stand before you. Bless your blood-bought flock and be with all of us. Complete thy work unto the glorious day of your return, and through your blood we will appear unrebukable in your presence, fully justified, sanctified in your word and in your will, ready to meet you. Bless us all the families, all who have problems. Bless all and reveal thyself and manifest thyself as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Once again, I thank you, Lord, that you have given your word and that you revealed it, and that we can carry your message into all the world. Bless beyond our understanding. Bless all in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. We will call the two sisters. Perhaps the choir will sing a song. We are just very, very grateful. Now, also who make themselves efforts to travel far distances and who are coming to hear the word of God, I really would like to thank you with all my heart. Especially I think on brother and sister Kupfer. And then one brother from Lyon said, we could sit there at the computer and see everything, but we have come to be with you together here, all from Romania, from Slovakia, from Italy, our beloved brother Trapani, and all the friends. God calls out from everywhere. We're not coming here for the sake of a man. We are coming because God has sent a hunger to hear the words of God, and therefore we are hearing the words of God and are preaching it to all who would like to hear them. We are giving you greetings. Are the two sisters coming? They are here already. A surprise.
Amen. Ja, mein Gott.
Was Gott verheißen, das bleibt bestehen. Und wenn auch Himmel und Erd vergehen, wenn unsere Stützen zerbrechen alle, was Gott verheißen, das hält. Was Gott verheißen, das will er geben, mag alles beben, es bleibt bestehen. Wenn auch verlöschen die Sterne alle, was Gott verheißen, bleibt bestehen. Was Gott verheißen, hält auch in Zeiten, wenn Mut und Hoffnung uns viel entschwinden und müd wir sinken im heißen Streiten. Was Gott verheißen, wankt nie. Was Gott verheißen, das will er geben, mag alles beben, es bleibt bestehen. Wenn auch verlöschen die Sterne alle, was Gott verheißen, bleibt bestehen. was Gott verheißen, hält auch im Sterben, im heißen Fieber, wenn's Leben schwindet, des Heilands Hände, dann für mich werben. Was Gott verheißen, stirbt nie. Was Gott verheißen, das will er geben. Mag alles beben, es bleibt bestehen. Wenn auch verlöschen die Sterne alle, was Gott verheißen, bleibt bestehen. Was Gott verheißen, hält auch am Tage, wo Gott uns rettet aus Not und Plage. Die Siegeskrone dort dann empfangen, die überwunden durchs Blut. Was Gott verheißen, das will er geben, mag alles beben, es bleibt bestehen. Wenn auch verlöschen die Sterne alle, was Gott verheißen, bleibt bestehen. Was Gott verheißen, das will er geben, mag alles beben, es bleibt bestehen. Wenn auch verlöschen die Sterne alle, was Gott verheißen, bleibt bestehen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now we are hearing a song. Shall I call the choir? Very nice. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Praise and thanks. Just tune in. Have part in that what God is doing. We just say hallelujah. Praise be the Lord God. May God bless the youth. May God bless all. Praise and thanks. Praise and thanks.
In heaven.
Amen. The heavens declare, and those on earth have heard it. Psalm 25. Thank you very much. Now, God willing, on the first weekend in June, we will be here again. We are inviting all to the first weekends. Remember also me, in particular, in your prayers. And also, Brother Rus, we always want to remember him. Brother Schmidt and all the brothers who take part in the proclamation of the word all over the world. May God give grace so that we all understand the same, and that, so that we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and so that the Lord can complete his work in all of us by his grace. Take greetings with you in all peoples, in all countries, to all our brothers and to all our sisters. May the Lord lift up his countenance over all of us, and may he give us his peace and his blessing and be with us. Remember also us tomorrow morning, very early in the morning, for me, the 26th journey to Israel starts. The 21st group journey, and God will bless us. We will pray for one another, and the Lord will be with us. Today, we would like to thank our precious brother Pino Davi in Palermo. We want to give him our special greetings. The email probably didn't arrive, and our brother was sad. He doesn't have to be sad anymore. We have the true brotherly love which God has given us, because in the general love, the brotherly love is also included, and by grace we have the brotherly love, and we really wish all God's richest blessing in all of Italy, in all of Europe, all who are part of the body of the Lord. They will find together, and in every city will only be one church joined with the Lord and with one another. There will be not various groups. Which cannot drink even a coffee here together on the earth, leave alone sit there at the same table having the marriage supper. Imagination will rapture no one. We have to live out the life of our Lord in the divine love. Everything else, all the other things, is a religious deception. Doesn't matter where it is made. In the Bible, only every local church is addressed. Not one single city had two or three or more churches. In every city was only one church. And when we at the end must return to the beginning, also here and in all peoples, tongues and nations, and in all cities, it will be that way. The end will be as the beginning was. Our Lord is Alpha and Omega. Don't ask how it will happen, but the Scripture says it to us. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We stand up for the closing prayer. And afterward, I will ask that all who partake in the Israel trip will come not after the supper, after the dinner, but they will come into the office to receive the instructions. Brother Schmidt, thank with us. Lord and God, in Christ Jesus our Lord, we say thanks and we worship you. For Lord in heaven, thy word is unchangeable. Your promises remain. Lord, give us all grace. That we hold fast to the word of life, which is the anchor of our lives. You are our foundation. Unchangeable is your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank all who bless all who listened. Bless all in all people's tongues and nations. Everywhere, Lord, you have your people. You have your children whom you have begotten. Thank you. We ask you for your blessing. Keep us in your word. Keep unto us your word, so that and give grace that we can believe always your word. Not only he who believes in God, but as Abraham was, he believed God. Give us also the grace to believe you and to give you the glory. Lord Jesus, please dismiss us in your blessing and in your peace. Amen.